as the Lord shall be pleased to help, I will ask you to turn with me to the fourth chapter, Epistle to the Philippians, and at verses 6 and 7. Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We have here in these verses, first, an exhortation, be careful for nothing, a godly counsel, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And a sweet promise which God has made, the peace of God, the peace of God which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Just to begin, we would look at the setting of these words as they are found in this epistle, and if we look back into the early part, into the opening verses of this epistle, we shall see that the church at Philippi had a special place in the heart of the apostle. Those saints at Philippi, they were upon his heart. There was love which flowed forth from the dear apostle's heart to these saints, the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, he said. You know, the establishing of that church, go back into the Acts of the Apostles, how the Spirit began to work. Those women that went down, you know, to the riverside on the Lord's day in the morning, where prayer was about to be made. And the Blessed Spirit directed the footsteps of his servant, and there was a meeting together. And the Lord, you know, began the day. There was a work of God, the Blessed Spirit, Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. She attended to those things which were spoken by the Apostle. She was constrained, wasn't she? Constrained by the love of Christ. And she constrained the dear Lord's servants to go into her house, to abide there. And you know, it needed the same power, didn't it, to open Lydia's heart and to pour in that grace, as it did to bring that Philippian jailer out of that place where he was by nature and bring him down upon his knees to cry out, "What must I do?" Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If it's the Lord's work, you know, if the Lord is in the beginning, then it will continue. He which hath begun. And so the dear man, the dear apostle, had these saints very near to his heart. He prayed for them continually. Great mercy, you know, if we can pray one for another. If we can bear one another up before the Lord, if there is laid upon your heart one, perhaps, or more, and if they are there and you carry them along and you pray over them and you watch and pray, don't you? And pray and watch. One in the congregation, one in the family, or more. And you wrestle at the throne of grace for them, over them. Pray that the Lord will, in his time, so bring them to that place of real repentance and godly sorrow for sin, that they might be found mourners in Zion, mourning over their sin and after him. You may say to me, I've got a lot, I've got a family. And they weigh heavily upon my heart, and I have to pray for them continually. You're not praying in vain. If the Lord gives you an exercise in prayer, if the Lord gives you that sweet liberty at the throne of grace, you're enabled with that sweet liberty to draw near unto the throne of grace, to come boldly unto the throne of grace. We might obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. It's mercy, isn't it? Mercy. First, it's mercy for oneself. Mercy, through blood I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. And you can go, you can walk with the publican in the temple. If the Lord is in it, if the Lord begins with you, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That's a beautiful hymn of dear Seneca, isn't it? That 144. And he says, speaks of Jesus the way. Jesus, my all to heaven is gone. He whom I fix my hopes upon, his track I see and I pursue the narrow way till him I view. This is the way I long, sought and longed, because I found it not. My grief, my burden long has been, because I could not cease from sin. The more I strove against its power, I sinned and stumbled, but the more, till late I heard my Saviour say, "Come hither, soul, and the way. Lo, glad I come, and thou, blessed man, shall take me to thee as I am. nothing but sin or they can give, nothing but love shall I receive. Then will I tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour I have found. I'll point to thy redeeming blood and say, behold the way to God. What has that got to do with this text? I'll tell you what it's got to do with the text. Because the exhortation is, be careful for nothing. It doesn't mean be careless. No way in the word of God does the world condone to slothfulness. But you know, the Lord God is the God of providence, and He will supply your every need in providence. And some people's religion, I'm afraid, is all providence, isn't it? We've heard some things in our day, you know. And people, perhaps they've possessed things and they've had them taken away. And they begin to cry about the things that the Lord has taken from them. Job didn't, did he? Job was the wealthiest man in the world. Rid of his possessions, the camels and the asses and the oxen and so on. And they were moved, weren't they, in quick succession. And the dear man was bereft of his family. And all this Job sinned on. Job said, the Lord hath given him, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We don't hear him crying over those things which he'd lost. Now, you see, with Job, the root of the matter was in him. And what were those things which he possessed in his life? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? But if the Blessed Spirit teaches you, you'll say, no, it's life, life, eternal life. It's my soul. It's to be right with God. It's to have the work of the Spirit, to have a real religion, a right religion, to have a heart work, as they used to say. Have that which God has given. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you, he said. You look at the fowls of the air and the lilies of the field. The birds of the air, they have neither storehouse nor barn. And have fed. And the Lord, you know, provides for his people. You look back over the path, over your pathway. How the Lord has supplied your need. Not all your wants. Sometimes, you know, we're like children, aren't we? And the child says, I want this and I want that and I want something else. And the wise parent will say, you can't have it. I'm sorry. And you look back over the pathway and you say, yes, the Lord has. He has heard my prayer and he has supplied my need. He's given me much more than I deserve. When did you last come to a well-spread table and your heart was softened in gratitude to the Lord for his goodness to you in his providence. I know we sit down and we bow our head and we say grace. It becomes a matter of form, doesn't it? And all this, and all this, and Christ, one in heaven, who is a father to his people, be careful for nothing, dear. You know, there was a home, wasn't there, at Bethany? There were three dear souls in that home. Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus, and Jesus loved them all. And dear Martha, you know, she was busy bustling about. She wanted to do her best, didn't she? The Lord was there. And she was troubled because her sister wasn't helping her. And dear Mary was there. You see, the needs of her soul came first. Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. One thing is needful. How is it then with you and I? Is it the one thing needful? The one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee, to have Christ. Be careful for nothing. I may be filled with so many fears. You look to tomorrow or next week or sometime in the future. You seem to be so cast down because of the things you have to face. And you don't know how you're going to deal with them. You don't know whether you'll have strength, do you? But how we have to pray, don't we, for wisdom? Any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Wisdom and grace. And here is the God of all grace, and it's a sweet word, isn't it? He giveth more grace. You see, and then the Lord says, as sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Leave those things, the things of tomorrow or next week. Don't be over anxious about those things, will you? Don't be too concerned about them. But leave them with the Lord. Leave them in his hand. Commit thy way unto the Lord. And commit thy works, we read in the Proverbs. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Everything by prayer and supplication. You know, it's a great mercy, isn't it, that you and I have a throne of grace. That there is a mercy seat. A great mercy that there is one seated there. Now we can sometimes sing, can't we? Thou art coming to a king, large petitions would they bring, for his grace and power such, none can ever ask too much. but in everything by prayer. Prayer, what is it?
What is prayer?
Sweet communication that one has with heaven. Prayer, soul's sincere desire, utterly unexpressed, the motion of a hidden fire which trembles in the breast. The Lord speaks much of it, doesn't he? The Lord was found often in prayer upon the mountaintop. Found often in prayer. Perhaps you say, well, I cannot pray. No, you can't pray. Have you no words? Think again. Words flow apace when you complain. They do, don't they? There's only the children of Israel, you know, who murmured and complained. And rebelled. Have you no words? Think again. Words flow apace when you complain. Fill your fellow creature's ear with the sad tale of all your care. The half the breath thus vainly spent to heaven in supplication sent, your cheerful song would often be, hear what the Lord hath done for me. This speaks of prayer and supplication. Prayer is like the stream which flows, and it flows gently on. Praying, but do you pray for it? Do you pray for prayer? Do you pray, Lord, to put prayer in my heart? Write it there, write it in my heart. And then I've got to pray for, really. And then I've got to pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. There's a flowing forth from the heart, you know. And maybe you begin in prayer. Praying for providence, praying for those providential things, and you know you'll finish up in spiritual thankfulness to Him, won't you? He is the God of providence and the God of grace. Prayer, supplication. What is this? It's like the river that flows along and it rushes along, doesn't it? And supplication, you know, is an urgent cry. It's the urgency, it's a pressing need, isn't it? When you're down on your knees, Lord, look in mercy upon me. I'm in trouble. I'm in affliction. I'm in darkness. I'm in spiritual darkness. And my sins, they're like a great mountain that rises up in front of me. Jacob, you know, in his day, wrestled all night, didn't he? Wrestled all night until the breaking of day. What did he want? When you wrestle in prayer, what is it you want? You want the Lord to bless you. And you say, the hymn writer, Lord, I cannot let thee go. I cannot let thee go until thou hast blessed me. Jacob can let him go, could he? Do not turn away thy face. Mine is an urgent, pressing case. See, you want the Lord to come. You want the Lord to speak pardon into your soul. You want to know that peace which passeth all understanding. The peace of God. Because you are troubled. Greatly troubled. If you read in Psalm 107, you'll see there a description of the child of God, the pilgrim. They came into troubles, deep troubles. Reading through those verses, and look at them and say, well, they seem to have got themselves into those troubles. They did indeed. And we get ourselves, don't we, into trouble quite often. What is it? What's the root cause of it? It's sin, isn't it? It's sin. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. It wasn't once. Not twice, many, many times. Then they called unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And the Lord, you know, he teaches his people, doesn't he? He teaches them. The heavenly teacher, divine mentor. His people, you know, are learning continually. And they're slow learners, aren't they? You say, yes, I'm a slow learner. But the Lord is merciful and gracious. The Lord is long-suffering. And the Lord still heals. He's still seated there at the right hand of God. There he dwells. There he makes intercession for his people. Now we're thankful for this, that there is one in heaven who intercedes for you. Intercedes on your behalf. Presents the merits of his own blood there. And this is what your plea is. Because you can bring nothing, can you? Nothing from your nature, nothing from self which is acceptable to God. My best is stained and dulled with sin, my all is nothing worth. You have to confess this. Not with a lip confession, but failingly from the heart. My failings, my many failings, my unworthiness, my sin. But you know, that's a sweet word, isn't it? It's a very precious word, you know. That which was spoken so scornfully by the Pharisees, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Receiveth sinners. Jesus Christ receiveth sinners. That which was spoken 2,000 years ago almost is true today. Your mercy, my mercy. Where would you be? Where would you be this night if it were not so? This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You know, we need to have that thankful heart given to us, don't we? A truly thankful heart. Let us not forget it. To be truly thankful. To thank God for His unspeakable gift. To thank God for His beloved Son. To thank God that He came into the world, not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. To thank Him that He is still the same, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And to thank Him that you can still draw near unto His feet and plead with Him. Made many mercies. Mercies countless as the sands. As mercies which you receive daily. You think of those temporal mercies, providential mercies. We go out, don't we, daily. How many dangers we are spared from. Perhaps we see, we are aware of some of them, but many unseen. We have journeying mercies, providential mercies, a measure of health and strength. Those things which the Lord provides us with in our homes. As we heard in the past day, He openeth His hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. He knows, doesn't He? He knows your circumstances. He knows your pathway. He knows what your need is at this present time. And yet you know He will be inquired of by the house of Israel. He will have His people come unto Him. He has bidden them to come, hasn't He? He has straightly invited them unto Himself. He has said, come unto Me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What is it then that is upon your heart? Is it your sin? Is it some trial, an affliction, the pathway along which you have to walk? You have to bring it before Him. You know, when we come into trouble, our first reaction is, how can we get out of this? And sometimes we begin to tell the Lord, don't we, what He should do. What should it be? It should be this, shouldn't it? Thy will be done, Lord. Thy will be done. Lord, do sustain me in this. Give me grace. Give me that grace, Lord, that was given to Thy servant, grace which is sufficient. Because the Lord didn't remove the apostles' thorn in the flesh. We understand He had to carry that with Him. There was was a promise given. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength. He said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. When you are weak, then in his strength you are strong, aren't you? And let your request be made known unto God. And lay these things before him. Play with him. And it must be, as I said, thy will be done, Lord. Thy will be done. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, sweet peace which is known and found in the heart, and drawing near unto his throne, and pleading with him, and laying your case before him, putting it into his hand, as it were. You know that some of our troubles are great, aren't they? And so trials we have. And sometimes, you know, we feel that one comes upon another and soon we should be crushed right down. But he puts strength, you know, in these people. They're not crushed completely, are they? They're down, you know, down upon their knees, down into the dust. Not very pleasant, is it? To be down in the dust. Dear Jeremiah speaks of it in the Lamentation. If so be that there might be hope, up a sweet hope in the heart of his people. They hope in him. That's where their hope is. Not in anything here below, is it? Another world, they have put their trust and their hope in something. Perhaps they hope to inherit a fortune or win one. The amount of papers that are pushed through our door. Win this, win that, send in your numbers and so on. What good does that do a poor soul, a needy soul? He'll never give them peace, will he? But God gives peace. Peace, you know, which passeth all understanding. When Christ, you know, draws near. When you feel that sweet union, when you feel so bound up with him, bound up with the dear Lamb of God, in union with him, in union with the Lamb, from condemnation free. Where is this? Why, it's as the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ flows forth freely into the heart. That poor sinner is brought nigh by the blood of Christ. This is where peace is. Now, sometimes singing, peace by his cross of Jesus made the church's everlasting head. The peace of God in Christ, in that sweet fountain which was opened at Calvary. This man shall be the peace, said the prophet. You know, it is possible, isn't it, to be in great trouble and to be in affliction and to have a heavy trial and to be at peace. And Christ is there. When he puts forth his loving hand and takes you up, as it were, into his arms. When you feel a sweet embrace. I hope I'm not talking fanciful. I hope I know what I'm talking about. You know, it's maybe once or twice. It's not always you can sing it, is it? I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. Only the Lord blesses his dear people with those blessings in this life, those things which we have richly to enjoy, and it's right to enjoy them. Those things which the Lord has given to us in this life. But you know, the Lord comes first, doesn't he? He will come first, you know. He will be first. He will be honored. The Lord Jesus will be exalted. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Keep your hearts and minds. Ah, you say, my heart, my sinful heart, my mind, my thoughts, my wonder. No, sometimes my thoughts are filled with all sorts of things. I'm ashamed of them. I'm ashamed of my heart. You know, the Lord in that beautiful 17th chapter of John's Gospel, we have recorded there the prayer of the Lord Jesus. He prayed, didn't he, for his people. He prayed that they might be kept. And he prayed that they might be sanctified through his word. And he prayed that they might be one. And he prayed that they might behold his glory. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I see the time has gone. May the Lord have his blessing. Pardon anything that is pure and sin is, for his name's sake. Amen.